Welcome to the Prickly Couch podcast, where three mujeres have real conversations. We'll share our stories and talk about wellness, familias, work, and everything in between in our experiences as Latina women.
A new Prickly Pear team member today, and joining us, we have the amazing psychotherapist, Sonia Torres. Sonia, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. We've been really excited to talk to you and get to know more about you, like how you approach therapy and what it means to provide affirmative care as a trauma therapist. So let's get started. This first question comes off as a loaded question, so I'm sorry, but please tell us about you, yourself, who you are as a therapist, and generally who you are as a human being.
Yeah, well, hello, everyone. So I guess just a little background about me. I am a proud Latina. My family and I, we are immigrants from Mexico. My parents kind of moved around Texas and ended up in South Texas in the Rio Grande Valley, RGV. So I grew up there. And I guess just a little bit about me as a person. I am very curious. I love learning about just new things. And so I tend to get bored easily. So I try like different things. And I've mentioned this in our other recording, how I've explored different things like music, like learning how to play an instrument. I also took a singing class, found out it's not it's for me.
We're going to have to hear that for ourselves, Sonia.
Yeah, but I'm a lover of dance. So that's dance is a big part of my life. It makes me really happy. And so, yeah, so I think that part of me just very, that loves learning and is very curious kind of translates to who I am as a therapist too. Because I, again, like I like studying what I do. So yeah, like reading about different like therapy modalities is exciting to me. Now that I'm in private practice, like I'm seeing a lot of different clients with different needs, and there are some like maybe some presenting concerns they come with that I might not have as much experience, so I get to like, that excites me. I'm like, okay, let me read about this, like what kind of approach I should use, like take the time to learn about it some more, get guidance from like the team. So, yeah, a bit about me.
Yeah, so first of all, border women represent. I'm also from a border town, that's where I grew up, so I'm so excited. And yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's really amazing. You have a lot of creative outlets, and I think that's really cool and really awesome. And I'm curious about how you came into therapy, because you said you like to learn about the different modalities and the different types of therapy styles, but how did you come to realize that that is what you wanted to do?
Yeah, it's kind of a, well, I'll keep the story short, because but I honestly didn't even know about like the profession growing up. Like that's not a thing that you, that I saw in my community. So it came later to me. I ended up going to school in Austin, UT for undergrad. And I think throughout the entire time I was there, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like, I really didn't. But I started getting into like more of the social sciences. I was in the College of Natural Sciences, like doing like biology. But like that was not for me. And so I ended up like studying a major within that college that was more aligned with social sciences. And so it kind of started from there, like me discovering this path. Mm-hmm. And so I actually had a mentor. She was a doctoral student at the time. And so I was a research assistant. I was like helping her out with her research. And that was really helpful because I knew that I kind of wanted to do like what she was doing. Like I wanted to continue going to school, but again, didn't know what. And so just having conversations with her kind of helped me like look into different types of programs for grad school. Mm-hmm. And then that's how I found social work. Like I remember her telling me like, well, look at all these different programs and like look into like education, psychology and these things, right? So that was kind of like an assignment I had. And then the social work one kind of spoke to me, which mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense now because yeah. I think like growing up, mental health issues or just mental health services were a thing that was not talked about, mm-hmm. But I think was very much needed, one in the community, but also in my own family. And and so it just like made sense. Like I was interested in it. Like I actually enjoyed learning about it. And so that's kind of how I got into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I can hear it that you like honored your curiosity and your love for learning, and that you honored that and fed that and like nurtured it, and you found this place that seemed a good, like it's a good fit for you. And I'm really happy for you, and I'm really excited that you have joined Prickly Pear, and yeah, then we get to just be here and like talk about it. At Prickly Pear, we have like a fantastic group of trauma therapists, including yourself. And they make it a goal to provide affirmative care. So what does providing affirmative care mean to you? Can you tell us a little bit what that looks like for you as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a very simple like way is, to me, it's like respecting, honoring, like celebrating a person, like overall, like their experiences, their identities, their different identities. Making sure just to respect that and to honor it, and also use, you know, like their culture, their experiences, kind of taking that into consideration and seeing the strengths in it. And so that's what it means to me. That's how I approach like just therapy and the people that I work for is really respecting and honoring who they are as people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's very very important to do.
Yeah.
And I know that you have over 9 years of experience. You have been working in different mental health settings, mm-hmm. and you've supported folks in different walks of life, including folks who have different age ranges. So could you tell us a little bit about how you approach therapy with adults versus adolescents, mm-hmm. and if there even is a difference in how you approach these groups?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a difference. And so, yeah. That's right now I work with the adolescents, so 13 and up, and that's who I work with. And I guess the main difference is when I'm working with adolescents, I feel like I use more tangible things, even if it's virtual. I incorporate art, right? I incorporate music, for example, because most times like adolescents, they tend to not be able to put like their words to what they're feeling, But once you like find different ways of like doing a check-in with them, right? Like using art or so, like it, they start communicating in that way. Like it helps with their really just like them expressing themselves. So using different creative, tangible things in the therapy space.
And it also seems like, and it also seems like you've also incorporated things that you have explored as well outside of therapy. Like you were talking about loving dance and how much that is important in your life, and having tested out music and singing. And it seems like you put you add that to your therapy and like practicing with adolescents, which can make it fun for them. Although, you know, it might not always be fun when we're talking about some hard feelings, but it gives them maybe a different way to be able to express themselves. So,
You know, that's very true. 'Cause even when I was working with the younger population, like, I would incorporate a lot of movement and dance, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's I think with the teenagers, it's making it very engaging, and you know, and also with adults too. Like, you could also incorporate that depending on like where they are developmentally too. But I think it's that's like the main, like the big difference that I use as opposed to just like pure talk therapy the entire time.
Right, because why can't it be fun for adults too, right? Why can't we be creative as well? So that might be different than when working with adolescents.
Yeah, you know, the feel of it is a little different, just because when I think of the two, like with the adults, is more like of a conversation, like a back and forth of them answering questions, or like us working together on like brainstorming like different solutions for things that they want to accomplish. So I guess what it feels like and looks like is more of a conversation, as opposed to the younger clients, right? There's more tangible things included.
And I'm gonna keep asking about like affirmative care, because one of the things that I've seen as somebody who has been in therapy myself and also working with you all is that once the pandemic became, like once it came to the US, then it really impacted the way therapy was offered. And one of the ways that it impacted was that telehealth is now a more accessible option. So when it comes to affirmative care, how might these sessions be different in person versus telehealth?
Yeah, I mean, so again, there, I always talk a lot about like the feeling of it, right? The because it does feel different. Like, one, it's in a virtual space, and the other is in person. I think in person definitely offers, like, it feels more for me at least, it's more intimate. Like you know, you really feel, you're like there with the person, you're feeling like their energy, right? And so, and we're, when you're doing it virtually, like it's, I mean, I think that's the main difference for me, right? But what I do like about the virtual, like doing therapy virtually, is that I hear from people, and also what I think about it too, it's very convenient, right? You don't have to drive, you save time, you save money. So it's just easier to like access. But it's also nice, you know, I am offering right now only virtual therapy. However, with the clients that I do have, if they're the space where they live in, and that's usually where they take the session, doesn't feel like safe, or like I am willing to like do in person to offer that neutral space.
You mentioned earlier that one of the pros of having therapy in person is that you get to achieve like a level of connection maybe more easy than you would in a virtual setting. Is there something that you do or like to do with your clients to be able to achieve that connection or that level of comfortability that you can't, that just seems a little bit harder to do when you are in a virtual setting?
What I like to do, well, when I incorporate a lot of like deep breathing type of exercises and some like smaller movements, right, of the body when in therapy. And so when it's virtual, like or even in person, right, I do it with them. So if I am teaching like a breathing technique, like I model it and then we do it together. And so we're like co-regulating together. And so that's done on purpose too, like not only for the modeling, but it's like, hey, I'm here with you and we're doing this together. And I think that has been very successful in creating that, like, hey, we're working on this together. It's like a partnership, right? And so it creates that closeness, even though it's in a virtual setting.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I think that's a sneak peek of what folks can expect if they're in a session with you. Is there anything that clients can expect with working with you that you haven't shared?
I think me as a therapist, I tend to be pretty chill, very, I don't know how else to describe it, but like, I like to create a very warm, very just chill environment. And so that is one thing that I do tell my clients, like, you know, sometimes we will incorporate some of these movements or breathing, especially if I see that maybe they're talking about something that's just very heavy. And I can see a shift in their like affect and their face, their body, their posture. I'll invite them to do that. I think my clients tend to like that, but they know this even in our consultation. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's like expected already if you're working with me, that there'll be some form of movement or deep breathing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. I love that. The chill therapist. I think that's a perfect way to describe it. Anything else that you like to share about your experience that you think can be helpful for people that are looking to connect with a therapist or trying therapy for the first time or on their way to be a therapist?
Yeah. I think this... because even me with, I guess I'll share something personal. Like sometimes, when I first started looking for a therapist for myself, and this is my stuff, like I felt like, I have to, if this person, if I do a consultation with them, then I'm like stuck. Like, okay, I'm forced to work with this person. And I guess I just want to say that it's not like that. If you are looking for a therapist, right, that it's okay to go through multiple consultations. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't feel right, that's okay. You can move along to somebody else. I think as a client like that, I encourage for people just to be open. If something feels uncomfortable, you're like, oh, it's not really working out, that's okay, it happens, and that you can always look for somebody that, you know, where you feel comfortable with.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Sonia, for sharing about your story and how you came to therapy and how to finding a therapist or shopping for a therapist, as I've heard that term. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And yeah, you can learn more about Sonia at our Prickly Pear website or through our Instagram, Prickly Therapy. But yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, now I can talk here.
Here.
I don't know what to do now. Prickly Pear Therapy and Training. Sonia is a bilingual and bicultural Mexican immigrant and Austin-based psychotherapist. As you soon will hear, she uses an integrative approach to therapy and is sharing how she found psychotherapy as a profession, how she approaches affirmative care with her clients. Let me do it again.
Yeah.
Hola, welcome back to the Prickly Couch Therapy and Training. Sonia is a bilingual and bicultural Mexican immigrant and an Austin-based psychotherapist. As you will soon hear, she uses an integrative approach to therapy and is sharing how she found psychotherapy.